This is a free recording by Cambridge QuickBooks etc. We hope you enjoy and benefit from the content. Also, please consider donating to the new Cambridge Mosque. Please visit cambridgemosqueismoving.org.uk.
Alhamdulillah alladhi sallama mizan al-aql ila akuf dhawi al-albab وأرسل الرسل مبشرين ومنذرين بالثواب والعقاب وجعل الشرائع كاملة لا نقص فيها ولا عاب أحمده حمد من يعلم أنه مسبب الأسباب وأشهد بوحدانيته شهادة مخلص في نيته غير مرتاب وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله وقد سدل الكفر على وجه الإيمان الحجاب فأخرجهم من الظلام بنور الهدى وكشف النقاب وبين للناس ما نزل إليهم وأوضح مشكلات الكتاب فصلى الله عليه وعلى جميع الآل وكل الأصحاب وعلى التابعين لهم بإحسان إلى يوم الحشر والحساب وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فيا أيها الإخوة المؤمنون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم للفقراء الذين أخسروا في سبيل الله لا يستطيعون ضربا في الأرض يحسبهم الجاهل أغنياء من التعفف تعرفهم بسيماهم لا يسألون الناس إلحافا وما تنفقوا من خير فإن الله به عليم صدق الله العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for those who are poor and are prevented from going out in the path of Allah and are not able to set forth upon the earth, the ignorant think that they are prosperous because of their self-restraint. But you know them by their signs. They do not ask people because of their humility. And what you give of good, Allah is surely knowing of it. This ayah is about, clearly, those who were summoned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to participate in the jihad, to go out fi sabilillah, but were unable to receive that great ni'mah, that great blessing, because of poverty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them as fuqara. They're not able to go out. They can't buy the wherewithal. They can't acquire the arms and the armor. They can't lay by provisions. They can't provide for their families when they're away. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is telling us something about a certain kind of poor person. Somebody who has this niyyah, who intends to go out to risk life and limb in order to defend, in this case, the vulnerable new city state of Medina, summoned to do that. And some people, ignorant people, al-jahil, will think that they do have enough. There were whisperings in Medina. Why hasn't so-and-so gone off to the jihad? Why hasn't someone else gone off to the jihad? They seem to be alright. And on the face of it, they might seem to be alright. There is a certain kind of person who, because of his innate fitri dignity, always seems to be fine and relaxed and has a smiling face and may be giving to others, and everybody thinks that they are fine. They have enough. But you, the ayah goes on to say, referring to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ta'arifuhum bi simahum. You know them from their signs. In other words, if you have that wisdom, which is firasa, that insight, when you look at them, you know that that outward atmosphere of having enough isn't the reality. Inwardly, they are fuqara, they are masakin, they are needy. And that's a high degree. Why? Because la yas'aluna an-nasa ilhafa, out of shyness, out of modesty, they don't ask people. They don't want to be beggars. They don't want to go around from door to door asking people for wealth. So instead, they hide their need. And that's what this verse is about. And then it concludes, and whatever you give of khair is talking to all of the Muslims here, Allah knows what you are doing. If you are giving it to somebody who outwardly might not seem to be particularly needy, but you have this dirasa, this insight, this awareness of that poor person's condition, and you give of the khair, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of the state of the giver and of the need of the one who is receiving. This is something that we often miss. And it's a shame that we miss it. Because there is a certain type of person who is really needy, who has a particular problem that really needs to be solved, who really doesn't have enough money to feed his or her children, who really doesn't have enough money for a particular medical treatment. Because there's so many needs that human beings can have, but because of this dignity and this self-restraint and this shyness and this desire not to be reliant on others and to put others to any trouble, he or she conceals that. يَحْسَبُهُمُ الْجَاهِلُ أَغْنِيَاءَ مِنَ التَّعَفُّفِ. The ignorant person thinks that they are أغْنِيَاء, they're rich, they have sufficient, because of their restraint, because of the fact that they don't ask others for anything. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once indicated this in a surprising way. He was asked, many miskeen ya Rasulullah, who is the really poor person ya Rasulullah? Miskeen is the really destitute, it's a category in the Quran. Who is the poor person? And he replied, لَيْسَ الْمِسْكِينُ بِالْقَوَّةِ أَلَّذِي تَرُدُّهُ لُقْمَةٌ أَوْ لُقْمَتَانِ وَتَمْرَةٌ أَوْ تَمْرَتَانِ. The poor person is not the one who's always going around and is sort of warded off or satisfied with a morsel or two or with a date or two. In other words, the conventional image of the poor person who's always asking. It might be a tramp who knocks at your door. It might be somebody who's panhandling in Market Square. Somebody who's endlessly writing you letters complaining about the situation and telling you how much he needs from you. All of these heavy hints that people drop. That is not the prophetic understanding of the miskeen, the noble poor person who is referred to in the Quran. قَالُوا فَمَنِ الْمِسْكِينِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. And then they said, so who is the real poor person, the real miskeen, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. And he says, الْمِسْكِينُ الَّذِي لَا يَجِدُ مَا يُغْنِي. The real poor person, the poor person in Allah's sight, is the one who does not find, does not have what is enough for him. وَيَسْتَحِي أَنْ يَسْأَلَ النَّاسِ. And is too ashamed to ask other people. وَلَا يُفْتَنُ لَهُ فَيُتَصَدَّقُ عَلَيْهِ. And nobody notices, so they don't give him any sadaqah. That's the person who's really miskeen. Not the one who lives from hand to mouth and every day people know that he's really needy and so they give him stuff. But the person who seems to be fine, but nobody really notices that person's needy. And that's the real state of faqr, which is, in this true spiritual sense of detachment and satisfaction and a desire not to put others to any trouble, is a very high degree. And we are required to love people like that. When we say we are required to love the poor, which is a virtue, it doesn't primarily mean those people who are telling everybody that they're poor. The people who are ostentatiously saying, please give me something. It actually means looking out for those people who are genuinely poor, who are kind of noble and humble and circumspect about it. And that's what he means, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he says, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مِفْتَاحٍ وَمِفْتَاحُ الْجَنَّةِ حُبُّ الْمَسَاكِينَ. Everything has a key, and the key to paradise is to love the poor. It doesn't just mean the guy who's sort of self-indulgently drunk in the street and asks you for a pound, for a cup of coffee. Maybe you help that person, you give him the benefit of the doubt. Inshallah, it's accorded as a sadaqah to you, whatever he goes and does with it. But the real hub, the real love, has to be for something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really loves, which is the person who, through no fault of his own, not through self-indulgence, is really in need, and really does have a health issue, doesn't want to tell anybody about it, really does have problems clothing her children, but doesn't want to tell anybody about it, really has difficulties with the state of his or her house, because the council hasn't fixed it up, and they're really in trouble, but they really are too shy to tell people about that. That's an important category of human being. And nowadays, when everybody is very frank about telling everybody all of their needs, and we tend to be a little bit too swift to do that nowadays, we tend to forget that it was a traditional virtue in human beings not to talk about one's own needs. and not to like to accept sadaqa or handouts from anybody. There was an older generation, a few of them still alive, maybe they're in their 90s now, who refused to accept old age pensions or any kind of handouts from the state. And when this was initiated in the 30s and 40s with the welfare state revolution, a lot of older people thought this was really degrading. They were being treated like kind of dependents, as if they were in an orphanage or some kind of hospice or just useless people who were no use to society any longer, and so they automatically got what they would describe as charity. And occasionally you meet really old people who insist on living on their own resources, however meager they may be, rather than take charity, as they put it, from the state. And that is the condition of Lais Aluna Nessa in Hatha. They don't ask for people because of this dignity and this modesty. Dignity and modesty, properly understood, are really two sides of the same coin. We need to look out for those people. And this is one of the duties of the believer as he considers what to do with his rina, or her rina, his surfeit. Don't necessarily give to the people who are most importunate and asking and begging. Have a kind of sensitivity and send out signals. Look with your inner radar, this simahom, this firasa of the believer, and look for those noble people who are really struggling and find ways in which you can help them without offending their dignity, or without making them think that they are in some way obliged to you or indebted to you. But there's something else also about this love for the masakin. It's not just that they have this quality of detachment and that they don't talk about themselves in the way that many rich people talk about themselves, this high quality. There's something else, which is that those who are poor, but who recognize that true wealth is in and from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are walking in the footsteps of the prophets. The fuqara, in this sense, the real poor, are the safwatul awliya, are the highest of the saints. And it is a condition, really, of the great ones, overwhelmingly, with a few very specific exceptions, that this is their style of life, and that they're not asking anybody for anything. And again, go back to those stories of the anbiya, and those surahs. Look at Sayyidina Ibrahim, alayhi salam, how he is chucked out from his own people, despite being apparently from a prosperous family. And he chooses poverty because he wishes to live in the dignity of Tawheed, and he relies only on his Lord. Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lillazi fatara as-samawati wal-ard. I've turned my face to the one who created the heavens and the earth. It doesn't matter what his outward circumstances might be. He might be turned out alone into the desert to face apparent certain death, but this does not worry him because he is in the state of thought and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Musa, alayhi salam, he is also thrown out into the desert, and he comes to the encampment, and he says, inni lima anzalta alayya min khayrin faqir. To Allah, I am poor, needy, in that which you have sent down to me of good things. Very subtle, beautiful way of looking at it. He's not complaining. He's just stating something. And it's legitimate to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to improve your outward state. This is a legitimate dua to make, as long as you recognize that it is from Allah. And very often, when people think about improving their outward state, to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the last thing they do. They want to start a new business, or their new bank loan, or wheel and deal in some way, but turning it into a religious exercise so that the khayr that comes can be used for good purposes is something that is regrettably unusual. But this is the faqir, the state of faqr that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was in. And that's why this poverty really is the way of the anbiya, because theirs is the perfect reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that faqr, that noble state in which they live, is this state of the pure one. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know the state of poverty in which he lived. Imam Sanhudi and all of the ulama who write about his ahwal sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describe the poverty which he chose because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen him for it. But again, he was the one who always seemed to be smiling and open, and sadaqa came in, he'd immediately give it out to someone else. He was not in people's minds the image of the pauper, the miskin. That was his reality. How much did he actually have? What was the nature of the house in which he lived? The small hut made out of mud. But we don't think of him primarily as a poor, needy person. Why? because he had this ghinabillah, this inward wealth that comes from total reliance on the one who is the source of all wealth, and in the light of which outward neediness really becomes a kind of adornment, a kind of beautiful thing that attaches to the lives of the saints, that is really their adornment and one of the reasons why they melt the hearts of human beings. And the opposite of this is something that is really demonic, and it's a very modern quality, to be afraid of being poor. How can one be afraid of something that was the adornment of the prophet and of the saint? Of course, you have to take consideration of the needs of yourself, of your family, of others. And there is a way in which it is valid to be rich, if you do that again, in the way, as it were, of Sayyidina Suleiman, alayhi salam, who was given tremendous mulk, but whose mulk did not distract his heart from the remembrance of his Lord for one moment. Very high, a very difficult degree. But it is possible in the ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed human beings legitimately to be. That is a possible maqam. And the hadith in which people come to the Mustafa alayhi salatu wa salam and they say, ذَهَبَ أَهْلُ الْبُطُورِ بِالْأُجُورِ. The rich people have taken the reward. يُصَلُّونَ كَمَا نُصَلِّي وَيَتَصَدَّقُونَ وَلَا نَتَصَدَّقُ. They pray as we pray, and they give sadaqah, and we can't. We don't, because we don't have the wherewithal. And he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That is Allah's grace, and he gives to whoever he wills. That is a high degree. To be the ghani, who is shakir, the rich person who is truly grateful, and who gives and gives and gives, is a high degree, and those people do get a tremendous reward for the sacrifices that they make, and the way in which they keep their hearts pure. But it's very difficult. Very difficult for somebody suddenly to inherit £1 million and to be the same kind of person. Almost impossible for somebody to inherit £1 million and to become a better person as a result. That really doesn't often happen. But generally, there is a real danger in this. And that's why it's considered to be forbidden to fear this kind of inward simple nobility that is the real state of taqwa. It really is not legitimate. And so many people's lives are spoiled with agitation because they're really afraid of losing money. They spend their whole lives in a state of agitation. This is the opposite of taqwa. It's narrated that Ijtama'a Iblis alayhi la'na ibn Nodihi, that Iblis once got together with his soldiers. And إِذَا اجْتَمَعَ بِجُنُودِهِ لَمْ يَفْرَحُوا بِشَيْءٍ كَفَرَحِهِمْ بِثَلَاثَةِ أَشْيَاءَ. And when they get together, they are not given joy by anything more than by three things. رَجُلٌ مُؤْمِنٌ قَتَلَ مُؤْمِنًا. A believing man who kills another believer. وَرَجُلٌ يَمُوتُ عَلَى الْكُفْرِ. And a man who dies in the state of kufr. وَقَلْبٌ فِيهِ خَوْفُ الْفَقْرِ. And a heart in which there is fear of poverty. That is not acceptable. That kind of nervousness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to take care of you, and that if you do become poor, it's going to be a terrible thing, and that you rebel against Allah's decree, that is not the Islamic adab. This is hard to figure out sometimes, because very often we live in a world where the asbab, the causes, the cause and effect relationship of everything, seems to have us in its grip. We forget Allah's power to raise us up and to lower us suddenly, apparently irrespective of the normal processes of cause and effect in creation. But the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he lived as a poor man, wa da'a Allah, and he called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an yukhshara bayna al-masakeen, that he should be resurrected amongst the poor. And that is where you tend to find the purest heart. Because of those people's innate dignity, when they get used to dealing with their inability to enjoy so many of the dunya distractions and pleasures that other people's lives have taken over by, there is a certain simplicity that can easily become a holy simplicity when we don't have very much to distract us. When we do have a lot in our pocket, the tendency is to spend it on things that distract us and take us away from our Lord. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّ. Except for those to whom your Lord shows mercy, but they are very few. This is why in Islam we have a particular love for the weak and the broken and the despised and for the poor. and why it is naturally the case that it is amongst such people that Islam tends to flourish and flower, and why it is naturally the case that amongst the rich and the powerful, the religion of Islam is kind of looked down upon as a nuisance or something low grade, disreputable, proletarian. That is how it has always been. Fir'aun always despises Musa, alayhi salam. And in the great encounter that's right at the beginning of this Jabal Iman of Sahih al-Bukhari, remember Abu Sufyan and his men are standing before the Byzantine emperor, Heraclius, and he's asking them about this man who's claiming to be a prophet, who's causing uproar in their city. And one of the things that he asks them is it أَشْرَافُ النَّاسِ تَدَعُوهُ أَمْ ضُعَفَاؤُهُمْ. The emperor asks Abu Sufyan, is it the rich and the wealthy, the noblemen who are following him, or the weak? And he says, it's the weak. And the ruler, who has a knowledge of the scriptures, and according to some of the ulama, he did become Muslim, wallahu a'lam, he said, كَذَلِكَ أَمْرُ الرُّسُلُ. That is how the prophets are. They are followed by the weak. They are followed by the poor. They are followed by the wild-haired and the barefoot, the people who nobody pays attention to. رُبَّ أَشْعَفَ أَغْبَرَ لَا يُعْفَأُ بِهِ لَا أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَا أَبَرَ. As the hadith says, many a person who is barefoot and dusty-haired, that nobody points to, were he to swear by the name of Allah, Allah would bring that oath to pass. And that is one of Allah's secrets in creation. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us this true love of the poor, if he does not place us amongst them. And if he places us amongst the wealthy, to make our hearts still to be amongst the poor, and to make us long for the company of the anbiya, and of the asfiya, and of the awliya, for whom overwhelmingly poverty and simplicity in life was their ornament. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to resurrect us in the company of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who will be resurrected not with the high and the mighty and the powerful, but amongst the masakeen, particularly those who, because of their ta'afu, because of their restraint and modesty, didn't make a big show of their poverty. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.